This is Shutters Inc. with Bruce Williams.
Hi, and welcome to episode 180 of Shutters Inc. This is Bruce Williams from ShuttersIncPodcast.com. And with me on the line via Skype from Melbourne, not Shelton Moore, but Lee Andrikopoulos. Lee, how are you?
G'day, Bruce. How are you, buddy?
Good, mate. Now, for those who listened to the post-PMA episode, episode 178, you will have heard that Lee was one of the people that I interviewed as a vendor at PMA 2011 at Darling Harbour here in Sydney. And what Lee does is, well, I'll let him explain it, but we're going to sort of introduce Lee as a semi-regular guest on Shutters Inc. because Lee has some fantastic insights on how photographers can build their business. But I thought what we would do in this first interview was just find out a little bit about Lee. So, Lee, what is your background?
There's a story and a half there, Bruce. Where do we start? Let's go back to primary school. How's that? Let's go back to about 10 years of age.
Okay.
I'm an Aussie boy, born in Melbourne, and lived in Melbourne until about the age of 10. And at the age of 10 years old, I got sent to an English boarding school in Athens.
Right.
Which meant I was brought up in English O-levels and A-levels, but grew up in Athens, in this European city, where people were interacting on a totally different level. And that was my teenage upbringing. Finished an American university and did finance and accounting, double major dance, and it was the first identification that there was this desire to operate on both a logical level and a very emotional level as well.
Right.
So then finished that, joined the military, had some more fun, gallivanted around the world. Mind you, an interesting point here, Bruce, I remember people used to say to me, you'll join the military and become a man.
Right.
And I must admit, I did join the military and came out of the military, and I guess the only thing I really got out of the military was the fine art of negotiation.
Oh, okay.
And it was just interacting with people, and that's one thing I probably enjoyed very well. Later on, I came back to Australia and with a finance and accounting degree, I sought the world of real estate. So yeah, look, it was quite an adventure. I got it. I worked in real estate for a number of years, and as a real estate agent, I was quite studious to study the world of sales. And I remember I was a very, very, very determined little bugger, and a whole Americana and Tom Hopkins and American sales techniques I took very seriously in qualifying and identifying negotiating techniques, and it was a constant journey. But one day the whole real estate thing just didn't have the value that I thought it would always have for me. So I decided to take a leap of faith, and I sold the business, sold everything, and bought myself a round the world ticket and gallivanted around the world.
Nice. So how did you end up where you are today with the whole, you know, photography business mentoring type stuff that we'll get to talk to over the coming weeks? But I'm trying to work out how you got from real estate to where you are now.
Well, when I got out of real estate and I bought myself a world ticket, I went on a journey of self-discovery, and I did walk around the world for quite a while, but eventually ended up in London. And someone said to me, look, there's a job working in a photography studio in London. Would you be interested? I said, look, I'll try anything. And I came across this company, and they were a large company. In fact, they were so large. This is a studio that saw 200 clients, portraiture clients, per day.
Wow.
They had five levels, and on each level, they had five studios, five makeup stations, and five viewing rooms.
Wow.
A total of 25 photography studios and viewing rooms operating on a daily basis as one.
Wow.
And this was my introduction to the industry. And someone said to me, look, do you want to sell? And I said, I'd love to sell. So they said to me, well, what we want you to do is we'll take pictures of people, and we'll give you these slides, because in those days, still on the film days,
yep,
we'll give you these slides, and we'd like you to put those slides up on a projection, show these images to your client, and sell the images to them as finished presentations.
Right.
And I thought, fantastic. That's exactly what I'll do. Now, interestingly enough, Bruce, the first thing I actually did, surprise, surprise, was I went and bought a dictionary.
Okay.
A dictionary, you say? Huh.
Yeah.
I bought a dictionary, and the reason I bought a dictionary is I needed to build up a repertoire of descriptive words.
Okay.
So I made a list of all these descriptive words. And the reason I needed this, because I felt there was nothing worse than sitting in a viewing room, looking at these images of clients and identifying features within these images, the eyes, the lips, the smiles, the hair, the background, the shoulder lines, the various focal points within these images, and being caught in this position of wanting to say something about it, but being tongue-tied or lost for words and not being able to come up with that descriptive word that I needed. So I thought the best thing I could do is train myself to do that.
Fair enough. Yeah.
So slowly I started to build up a repertoire of descriptive words. So when I would look at some eyes in an image, I could identify them as either piercing eyes or alluring eyes or playful eyes. And whether the smile was a more inviting smile or a mischievous smile, or whether that arch in the back had an elegance about it or a more casual, relaxed feel about it. But it was about building up a repertoire of descriptions that would identify the various focal points.
Nice.
So this was the commencement in a new industry, which I very soon realized I was genuinely enjoying, because I was dealing with people, and people something I always love to play with. But I felt I could be quite genuine about it. I felt I could really give them what I felt and what I saw without any of this hard yakka Americana sales real estate techniques that I was well and truly over.
Right.
So thus the career began. And what became interesting was I'd be seeing about 10 clients a day.
Right.
So very soon I was viewing on a daily basis 10 clients, and I'd be booking 20 days a month. So I'd be getting through about 200 clients a month.
Yeah, right.
So very soon I started to identify common denominators, common traits in how people were identifying with themselves, common traits on how to present and help people understand the various images that they were looking at, or more to the point, how to appreciate looking at themselves in an image. So instead of actually starting from actually photographing them or booking them in, I was actually starting from the other end. I was actually starting from once the images have been achieved, and then identifying what the clients were actually looking for when they were looking for an image that defined them, and ultimately they'd be interested in purchasing in some way, shape or form.
Right.
Does that make sense?
Yep.
It was an interesting approach to entering the industry. And very soon I realized this is going to be fun. I'm going to really enjoy this. And being in London, you were dealing with a lot of different cultures as well. A lot of different nationalities, a lot of different tempos. So it was great to adjust to different mentalities and different types of people. Adorable wife in Scotland, and gallivanting around the world with her for a while, via San Francisco for a period of time as well. Eventually we came back to Australia, and that would have been in 99.
Right.
Interestingly enough, about 7 days into Melbourne, my wife turned around to me and said, I believe we may have a bun in the oven. The desire to move rather quickly kicked in rather fast, and I found myself thinking, right, now what do I do? Do I go back into real estate, or do I stick with this new business that I've discovered, photography and the whole portraiture industry?
Yeah.
And there was a temptation of security to go back to what I knew best, which is the real estate. But I'm also a believer of moving on to new exciting things and following that thing they call the journey of life and where it takes you. So
for sure.
No, I thought, that's it. No, we're going to go down the photography line. So I identified an astute photography operator, walked in and said, right, look, I want to work for you. Pay me nothing. Let me sell for you and let me show you what I can do, pretty much. And that was it. I got myself in, started to sell, and before we knew it, the average sales were kicking in at the highest level, and we now had a business to start working for. I worked for a couple of years working for other operators, and then very soon I realized that people were coming to me saying, look, Lee, how are you doing this? How are you doing that? How are you achieving this result? And actually, I should point out, even while I was back in London, for this company that I was working for in London, at the time, what was interesting is they approached me as well and said, look, you seem to be achieving the average sale every month. How would you like to start training our guys or supporting the rest of the sales team? So that's actually when I actually started first training in the industry of photography. Was back in 98.
Right.
And that was with Cover Shots International in London. So that career sort of kicked off. I enjoyed the training, I enjoyed helping people and started, and it really just came back to, as I said, identifying common denominators. So by the time I was back in Melbourne and worked for a couple of years for, in fact, it was Michael Walshaw Picture Maker in Melbourne.
Right.
That I was working for. And that was quite an interesting experience, but soon enough I kind of went, look, I need to develop my own idea, I need to do my own thing. And at that stage in 2002, Instinctive Desires was born. It was rather interesting because people said to me, so where did Instinctive Desires come from? And the idea was quite simple. The instinctive desire to be the best you can be.
Yep.
It goes back to that raw ingredient. Remember when we were all kids and we were something that we were really good at? And whenever you were going to do this particular activity, regardless of what anyone said, you were the best at it. Yeah. You were just confidently there at it and you loved it. My particular thing was high jump. So if you've come close up to me, you'll realize I've got a wee bit of height in me.
Yes.
And that was, you know, one thing I was very proud of was my high jumping skills. So I was always very confident that I was the best at it. Until someday someone beat me, I tripped over, it didn't go the way I wanted to, and then that little negative bug kicked in.
Oh yeah.
And then I started to believe that I wasn't as good as I thought I was, or I'd listen to a negative opinion and take it on board. And before I knew it, I turned these little negative thoughts into absolute monsters in my mind.
Yeah.
And then I could no longer jump anymore. So instinctive desires is a constant reminder of going back to those passionate instinctive desires we have from a raw place that genuinely do say to us, you are good at what you do, before we are influenced by anything else, and going back to maintaining those raw passionate thoughts of positive energy. That's instinctive desires. Well, that's where it came from. So now instinctive desires gained a life within the photography industry where it was relating back to raw passions of desire, relating to documenting of photography and how people wish to be documented, and a desire for an instinctive expression through imagery, in a sense.
Right.
So instinctive desires was born in 2002, and before we knew it, we had people calling us up and saying, could you help us with our sales process? Could you help us with our marketing? And actually what was most interesting is in 2002, the most popular request was, could you help us convert from a film studio to a digital studio?
Right.
This was the time where procedures were updating. Photoshop was coming in and getting a new life. Viewing programs were gaining a new life. The whole procedure was gaining a whole new perspective of business practice. So we were all going through a learning stage at the time. And in my early days, in the early 2000s there, I was quite fortunate to be introduced to the digital era at an early phase and got the opportunity to play with various of cameras and, more importantly, software to achieve what we would require in order that would be that the image that a client would ultimately purchase or would be interested in viewing in order that they make purchasing decisions. It was an interesting phase. There was a lot going on in those early days and there was a lot of trials and errors.
Sure.
What was really interesting, I remember back in those days, is when everyone kept saying, oh, great, look, digital is finally come here, fantastic. We don't need to buy any more film. And that was the interesting push at the time. We don't need to buy any more film. Therefore, we will save money. So everyone worked on the principle with this digital camera, they wouldn't need to buy any more film and would be saving so much more money as opposed to buying for film and then having to pay for its exposure, etc. So this was brilliant. We were going to save so much money. And then what happened? Everyone ended up purchasing Photoshop.
Yes.
And there was such an interesting subliminal underlying expense that kicked in. Hours and hours and hours of Photoshop was kicking in. All this post-production and pre-production time. It became, actually, as we soon discovered, it became more expensive than the film.
Yeah, right. From a man hours point of view.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly. Now they were spending way too much time on the computer as opposed to getting out there and talking to potential customers or looking at marketing strategies. Now they were caught behind the computer doing all this Photoshop work. So it did kind of come as a bit of a shock to the industry. It did allow for a lot of creativity as well. Let's look at the positive of it. And it did allow for a lot of freedom. It did also create a few other issues, which were that we had portraiture sessions or wedding sessions. I remember when, you know, film weddings and you would end up with the 300, 400 images, and that was a lot of images.
Yeah.
to digital photography, where wedding photographers would walk off with 1,500 images.
Yeah.
And then it went way over the line. People were shooting without actually thinking, just shooting, thinking, well, I can always delete. Without realizing how many hours they're actually going to spend back actually deleting later on.
That's right.
So there was a lot going on in terms of understanding this new medium from a you know, professional perspective, and we all learned a lot in those early days. But at the end of the day, it really came back to harnessing a portraiture shoot, harnessing a wedding shoot, not getting carried away. Posing it like the first time round, not just clicking like mad.
Yeah.
And saving that time in order that you can actually, at the end of the day, run a profitable business and not spend ridiculous hours behind the computer.
Yep. Which is a quite a large part of Shelton's mantra as well, of, you know, get it right in camera.
Exactly. Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. All right.
Most definitely.
Well, Lee, thank you so much for at least, you know, giving us some background about, you know, who you are and where you've come from. I've got to say, I am extremely excited about, you know, this series that you and I are going to record, you know, over the coming months. I'm very keen to hear what you have to say about developing the business side of a photographic business. You know, as you and I discussed on the trade floor on the weekend, you know, there's more to it than just actually taking the photos. So
exactly.
I'm very much looking forward to it. So thank you for for sharing your wisdom.
Absolute pleasure, a pleasure, Bruce. And in fact, I'm looking forward to it as well, actually evolving with the processes as they follow through and looking at the various elements, looking at how the marketing vehicle has evolved over the last few years, looking at how the bookings processes have evolved over the last few years, what are customers' common interests and how they have evolved as well.
Yeah.
And also how the viewing process has evolved and how the product ranges have also evolved. How our pricing has evolved with various products that have come into the industry as a result of digital technology. And the beauty of it is it's not a set process. It's constantly changing, which keeps it very entertaining, Bruce.
Tell me about it. I mean, just looking at the, you know, the explosion of the tablet market now, you know, you talk about changes to the way we view our images and present images to clients. You know, that whole tablet space is just... You know,
exactly.
An open field right now. So.
Exactly. Exactly. However, I will say the one thing that hasn't changed is the desire for people to be documented.
Right.
We will always need to be photographed. We will always have something to say in our imagery. And that is the constant. The story will always be a prerequisite and everything around it will always be a process of evolution to better present, to better assist, to better help, taking customer service always to the next level.
Fantastic. Well, mate, I look forward to the continued discussion.
Sounds great. Sounds great. Very much appreciated, Bruce. Looking forward to it as well.
All right, mate. We'll catch you in a week or so.
Take care, buddy. Talk soon.
Shutters Inc. For previous episodes, check out shuttersincpodcast.com or search the iTunes Music Store. For questions, comments, and feedback, email theboys@shuttersincpodcast.com.